Doc and Eddie's. This is the locker room. Joe O'Neill filling in for Bob Brown. We're at Doc and Eddie's. $1 tacos. Great green chili cheeseburgers. And if you wear a Halloween costume, you get happy hour prices all night long. Come on out. Doc and Eddie's on Brentwood, right off of Osuna and San Mateo, right by Uncle Cliff's. You know where it is. Come on by. We're here for a few more minutes, and we've got one more set of Lobo men's basketball tickets for you. If you come by now, we've got one more pair of tickets to the Lobos basketball game tomorrow night against Davenport, including a parking pass. But we're going to take you right up until about 7 o'clock here this evening, and I'm now joined by a buddy of mine from the radio business. He's Will Bradley from the CBS radio affiliate in Tampa, Florida. And Will, you're enjoying New Mexico, I know, but you're still keeping your eye on sports and the NFL games and so on and so forth. But before we get into that, I want to know, you know, being in Tampa, I guess the Southeast Conference, it's them and everybody else, right? You don't get that much information on New Mexico versus Colorado State or Wyoming and San Diego State, right?
People in Florida are very provincial when it comes to their college football. We have University of Miami. We have Florida, Florida State. Even in Tampa, USF, the Bulls that are in the Big East.
Right.
Big. And then UCF in Orlando. They're talking about they're going to go into the Big East possibly.
Right, right, right. So, yeah, well, there's so many great high school players in the state of Florida that if they can hang on to the ones that the big boys that you mentioned don't get, or even like Georgia, I know, recruits hard in Florida, they can go into those other schools and do very well.
Yes, and actually you guys here in New Mexico are going to keep an eye on UCF because they're combining – Mountain West and Conference USA,
right,
which is what UCF is in right now.
Right.
So it's going to be the super mega football conference.
Yeah, like 16 different time zones.
Yeah.
And about
road trip to Orlando.
Hey, I'm in for that. I'm sure a lot of people would take that over Laramie. Before you and I get any further, Will, let's go ahead and talk to Jerome. Jerome wants to talk some Cowboys, and I'm sure you'll have an opinion on that, Will. What's on your mind, Jerome? Thanks for holding, bud.
Hey, not a problem. Hey, first of all, I want to thank you guys for picking up the Aggie Sports Network. I think that's fantastic. So kudos to you guys for doing that. That's
major. You're very welcome. Hey, I mean, it's been great having the Aggie games, Jerome, and they fought like crazy in Las Cruces Saturday night. They were up 27-20 over Nevada. Just couldn't, keep scoring with them there in the second half. But they fought hard against Hawaii the week before. So you're very welcome. I know you're an Aggie fan, and you'll be able. I'm sure you'll be tuned in. If you can't watch it on TV on Saturday morning, they're traveling to Athens, Georgia, which I'm sure will be an interesting. Challenge for them, right?
Yeah, you bet. But on the Cowboy front, I'm a big old diehard Cowboy fan too. And you know what? You know, we could easily be 6-1. I know we're not. I know we're 3-4. But you know what? We played some good competition. You know, unfortunately, last night was a stinker of a game for us. But you know what? We have a favorable schedule coming up. We have a lot of games that we should win. And you know, every time we play the Eagles, it's sometimes we play good, sometimes we play bad. And unfortunately, last night they played good and we played bad at the same time. So that was indicative of the blowout score. But, you know, we're going to come back. Ryan's going to figure some stuff out on the defensive end. I hope Garrett lets Tony Romo loose instead of holding him back. And, you know, let him be Tony Romo. If he wins this game, loses this game, at least, you know, we're out there throwing touchdown passes and trying to make something happen. And for Cowboy fans, I wouldn't be fretting too much. I think we're going to be fine. I think, you know, if we take care of who we have to beat, you know, those easy teams, and I think we're going to make the playoffs. And then you never know what's going to happen from there.
Well, you know, and you're right. I mean, it was just the way they got beat last night. But let's not forget they had played 11 consecutive games where the final score was 4 points or less. So, prior to the Rams game. So it was they were bound to take a hickey at some point down, you know, on the road. And Philadelphia was tuned up and ready for them. But I'm with you. You kind of hurts the day after. But when you keep things in perspective, like you said, the teams they have in front of them, and, you know, starting this week against Seattle, and then they have Buffalo, which is having a good season, don't get me wrong. But it appears that the Cowboys have a run of games here where they might be able to reel off a couple of W's in a row. They definitely, you know, could use that. You mentioned they could be 6-1, but you know, they could be 1-6 too, because I mean the game against San Francisco, some people think Harbaugh handed them a gift in some of his decision making, and then they needed a comeback to beat Washington too there, Jerome, but they did have the Jets and they did have the Patriots and they did have the Lions. It's been a weird season, man.
Yeah, so we'll just keep plugging away, and I think I'm looking forward to good things happening. So keep up the good
all
work,
right.
And I'll keep listening.
Thank you so much, Jerome. We appreciate you. 994-1017, 994-1017. Out of Florida, the Dolphins are
Andrew Luck.
Are kind of a disgrace this year.
No, Andrew Luck.
Is that what they're going to?
It's not a disgrace. That's on purpose.
You're hearing it's on purpose.
They're fine with it.
Even though their head coach, Tony Sperano, looked like he was devastated yesterday after the loss to the Giants.
Of course he's devastated. He's going to get fired.
Okay, and who are they going
to...
Who?
Exactly. He put his house up on the market.
Sperano put his house up on the market. Okay, so he knows he's a short-termer. Who's going to be the next head coach for the Dolphins?
Bill Cowher.
Cowher denies ever having any interest in it. I mean, come on, Will.
Well, of course he does. He's playing coy. He's hard to get. Because he knows other teams are going to offer him money, too.
Right, right.
He can't just say, oh, after season's over, I'm going to go to Miami. He can't just do that.
So
he can't say that because he knows these other teams that are going to get rid of their head coaches, like Jacksonville. He's not going to go to Jacksonville. He'd go to Miami. Miami's more of a glamour team. So why would you not want to go to Miami? You got celebrity ownership. You're going to get Andrew Luck. They deserve Andrew Luck, I think, more than the Colts do, because the Colts, you know, you can't go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck.
Right, right.
Miami, you got Marino, Jay Fiedler, and then... What?
Matt,
what have they had?
Yeah, they haven't had a whole lot. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Cleo Lemon.
I should say, I'm a big Canadian football fan.
Right.
Cleo Lemon, for several years, was an excellent Canadian Football League quarterback.
But not much of an NFL guy, I guess.
You know what, though?
What?
Football's football.
Yeah.
Canadian football's still football.
Yeah, well.
Allen's brother. You ever heard of Damon Allen?
Yeah, I he's breaking all kinds of records up there, right?
Yeah, Marcus Allen's brother, kid brother.
Quarterback?
Quarterback. 20 years in the Canadian Football League, set all kinds of passing records.
All right.
Or just broken.
Well, I know Warren Moon kind of got his career started up there.
Flutie revitalized his career in the CFL.
Right.
Jeff Garcia got his start in the CFL.
So well, I know Chris Berman on ESPN a couple times a year.
Yeah,
he'll incorporate that into his picks. All right, so you're in Albuquerque visiting a buddy from college. You went to the University of Minnesota.
Yes, I did.
You got to go to Santa Fe for the first time. You got to see the Laredo Chapel where I got married and some other things up there. So how are you adjusting to the Mexican food in New Mexico? It's, I'm sure, a lot different than you had ever had anywhere else. I'm going to just tell you this, Will. It's the best in the world. There's no question. Don't let anybody, when you go back to Tampa, tell you, oh, it's not as good as it is in Arizona or Texas or something like that. It is not even close. We've got the best Mexican food in the world right here.
It is. Partially because Florida has a heavy Hispanic population.
Yeah.
But it's mostly Cuban and Puerto Rican.
Right.
It's not Mexican. So they have a lot of Latino food, a lot of Cuban food. You ever had a good Cuban sandwich?
I've not had a good one. I've tried them.
Gotta
there's
go
a couple
down to Florida. There's places all over. You go. You
that's pork on grilled bread with mustard and pickles,
it's
right?
It's grilled pork and ham and Swiss cheese
okay.
and pickles and mustard. That's an authentic Cuban.
All right. Well,
I like it.
They have Rubens. They have Rubens here at Doc and Eddie's. I don't know if the Cubans are on the menu, but I do see a variety of them around town. So you're in town for a couple of more days, and then you're back home. Talk about the sports scene in Tampa. It really revolves around college football, right, primarily?
Well, right now the Tampa Bay Bucks are doing really well. They actually had a game that they didn't black out the game. They sold out the game.
that's terrible when a team doesn't get enough fans in there where you can show the game locally.
I actually was saying that the
– it happens in Jacksonville all the time, right? I mean
– No, it did for a while, but they've actually sold out the last few games in Jacksonville. Yes, they have.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's talk. And they got ripped in Jacksonville. I love Jacksonville because it's a great golfing city. I mean, that's where the TPC Sawgrass is,
yes,
and
is.
That's in Ponte Verde, which is just outside of Jacksonville. But when the Super Bowl was there, everybody was whining that was like the worst Super Bowl place to go, which it's hard to imagine that It could have been that tough on him. I mean, media guys are a bunch of whiners anyway. I mean,
the three things you need with a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Okay, there's four things. Weather.
Yeah.
Is one. Jacksonville is in northeast Florida, and it gets chilly in the wintertime. It actually gets down in the 30s.
Okay.
So the weather.
Right.
You need a lot of hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Jacksonville doesn't have a lot of hotel rooms.
Does not, huh?
They had to put cruise ships on the St. John's River to house all the people that were coming there for the Super Bowl. They don't have a lot of taxi cabs.
Right.
Because people are complaining about how they're supposed to get around town. You're supposed to take the JTA buses that barely run on Sundays. There's no cabs. How are you supposed to get around? You're supposed to walk in downtown Jacksonville?
In 30-degree weather? Heaven forbid.
Wear a Kevlar vest if you want to walk around downtown Jacksonville. And the fourth thing is nightlife. It's Jacksonville.
Not much going on. Yeah, well.
Jacksonville Beach is nice, but that's about 15 miles away from downtown where the stadium is, and people don't want to go to Jacksonville Beach when it's like 45 degrees outside.
Well, how could you have an NFL team in Jacksonville when a media market like Los Angeles doesn't have a team? I mean, that's...
Wait 2 years. Wait 2 years.
Jacksonville will be there?
Well, I'm a Vikings fan.
Yeah?
So the only thing I really have to cling to, especially this season, is the fact that the Jaguars are going to be the team to move to L.A. and not the Vikings. Because the Vikings, they're in the last year of their stadium lease at the Metrodome, right?
Right.
And we decide this is the year we're going to have Donovan McNabb become a lazy, low-road quarterback instead of the grinning, happy, I don't care if, you know, T.O. is bad-mouthing me, I'm not going to punch him in the face, Donovan McNabb, you know, Mr. Friendly, Mr. Happy. Right. Now he's a malcontent. He's complaining about everything.
I thought, well, Christian Ponder said on ESPN Radio what a great influence he's been.
Well, I'm sure that McNabb is nice around Ponder, but then he gets around the media, and it's a completely different thing.
All right.
And then you have Chris Cook. He tries to strangle his girlfriend, and who's going to want to finance a stadium that houses guys like that on their team?
Right.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a mess.
Well, appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you, Joe.
You bet. It was good seeing you. Thanks for coming by and saying hello. We'll be in touch, I'm sure, when we need information about anything going on in Florida. We appreciate it, Will. Thanks for all the calls. Thanks for helping me through today, everybody. Thanks to Doc and Eddie's. Thanks to David Dominguez and Matt Foote and Ryan Miller back in the studio, Kareem Butler, Coach Alford and Rick Wright and all our guests. DeWall, thank you for stopping by. This has been The Locker Room live from Doc and Eddie's, as we always are on Mondays. You're listening to ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.